First of all, I want to, those that I haven't yet formally seen, I want to formally welcome you to Boca. I would say the warmth of Boca, but it's 60 degrees below zero in here right now, so feels more like New York, like Boca. But for those who I have not yet met, my name is Philip Moskowitz. I'm the associate rabbi here. I've been down here in Boca for 10 years. It's nice to see familiar faces, people who are back from the summer kollels, and lots of new faces, and please God, hopefully over Shabbos, we'll have a chance to spend more time together, and hopefully this will be your first visit of many to our community. The topic of the shiur starts in my car this morning. I was driving carpool for my wife this morning, and my daughter, about halfway between here and the school, which is about an 8-minute drive, announced that she was dehydrated and going to pass out if she didn't get an ounce of water really quickly. Now, I tried to explain to her that she's not going to pass out, that she'll survive the other 4 minutes of the drive until she gets to school. But she and I spent the next 4 minutes arguing about whether she was going to die of dehydration between the 4-minute mark and until the time we got to school. Now, obviously, what was this a display of? It was a display of whether she could control herself. Right? I tried to explain to her that with a little bit of self-control, she'd be able to survive the other 4 minutes. And she was trying to explain to me that she needed it here and she needed it now, or she was going to pass out of dehydration. Now that little story, while it sounds very silly, is actually the story of our lives, and I think an important nekuda when it comes to our avodas Hashem. And that's why I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about the notion of self-control, the notion of the ability that we need to train ourselves to manifest a sense of restraint. And why, out of all the topics I could have chosen, think about it, Talmud Torah and Hizbodidus and whatever the topics that have been chosen, why I chose to speak about self-control and restraint. So I want to share with you a beautiful piece from the Piyazetz Narebi, the Ish Kodesh, and his Bnei Machshava Tova that you have in front of you on page number one. The Piyazetz is talking about this exact idea of self-control, of the importance of maintaining a sense of restraint. So if you look on the right-hand side, where I bracketed about two-thirds of the way down, the Piyaz Etzner writes the following. He says, V'chein hu b'inyan avoda. Al techake ad asher tavo chas v'shalom lidei aveira, o afilo taiva shel heter. In other words, don't wait until you're in a major moment of a nisayon, where it's you versus the thing that you want, right? Let's just take chocolate cake for now, right? It's you on one side of the table, it's the chocolate cake on the other side of the table. Says the Piyaz, don't wait for that battle royale to take place, to test whether or not you have the ability to manifest itself a sense of self-control. Rather, what should you do? Rakayim is divrei hadmor, l'chabir asamidos l'machshava b'chol dvarecha, afilu b'divrei heter. In other words, work on yourself, even b'divrei heter, even on things that don't apply to avodas Hashem. V'lo rak shetitchashe mikodem, im la'asos bilvad, rak tiskor bahem milchama. Harbe pamim, listen to his advice. For what he means, that test yourself in divrei heter before you are faced with a nisayon in avodas Hashem. He says, harbe pamim timna mehem. Many times, I want you to restrain yourself. I want you to maintain a sense of self-control. Afimein dvarim shel iser, ve'af taiva chazaka in lechavlem. In other words, even though this is not, you know, you have a taiva for a girl, right? That's not even what he's talking about here. Train yourself to be able to control yourself, even if you don't have a taiva for it, and even if it's not a davar iser. Rak kedei la'orer b'cha ometz halev v'ruach memshala al atzmecha yigala b'cha. Train yourself to be able to control yourself so that you will always know that it's you that's in control and not your taiva that's in control. Tenaseh, he says, test yourself. Kipam bepam, every now and then, bedvarim kalei erech. In other words, take superficial, silly things and test yourself in those. Lemasha, lishtos lefamim, coffee below tzukar v'chadome. In other words, let's say you like your coffee really sweet. Says the Piyaz Etzner, once a week, have your coffee with nothing in it. And it might be disgusting, but you're going to train yourself that you're not beholden to your taivas. That you can do something that you want, and it's not your taiva that's dictating to you what you should be doing. Even though this sounds silly to you, right? If you train yourself to be in control, if you know that you can control your taivas and your taivas don't control you, then you're a better person. So for example, right? Let's say you like a certain food, right? Let's take our chocolate cake example, okay? And you're not on a diet, you don't have any health issues, diabetes, nothing. When that chocolate cake gets passed by you, every now and then, says the Pia Zetzner, tell yourself I'm not going to have that chocolate cake. Why? What's wrong with the chocolate cake? Is there any isser in the Torah of eating chocolate cake? No. The whole point is to find areas where you can test yourself, to show yourself that I can control my taiva. I know when to say no to myself. I'm not beholden to that chocolate cake. And therefore, he says on the top of the left-hand side, he gives you an example. Let's say you're at a Shabbos meal. This week, you're going to be hosted in Boca Raton. Whoever's hosting you is going to want to put on their best effort, their best show, and they're going to serve you the finest meats. Says the Pia Zetzner, as that plate of meat gets passed around. So, you know, like your eyes meet that piece of meat, and that piece of meat's like staring right at you, and as it's getting passed around, you're like, nobody take that piece, nobody take that piece, that's my piece, that's my piece. Right? And you're watching everyone pass, and you're like, I want that piece. Says the Pia Zetzner, when that piece comes to you, take a different one. Don't take the piece that you've been eyeing the entire time. He says, as a klala zetishmor, lechem echol lesova, avadvar ma'arevim lechek levad, teshev bedin akol liiso lisa, im yesh lefanecha, shnei mine basar. You have two pieces of meat in front of you. Uminechad arev lecha yoser vefilu sheina tamargish birkir vecha kol kachtai velav. Right, there's no real big difference between the two of them. Just one looks a little bit better to you. Just as the meat's going around, you get that feeling that that piece of meat's going to settle well in my stomach. Imagine that there's a knife hanging over that piece of meat. Listen to the language of the Pia Zetzner. Imagine there's a knife hanging over that piece of meat. It's usher to you right now. Hishamer v'harchiku. Distance yourself from that piece of meat. Why? V'cheinim b'chlalu ho'ei basar ata, einu omer lecha shelo tochel basar gam. He says, I'm not telling you not to eat meat. I'm simply telling you, rak harbe pa'ami memor lecha la'atzmacha. Here's the key words. By taking piece A instead of piece B, even though you wanted piece B, what are you telling yourself? Moshel ani al atzmi. I am in control, and the piece of meat is not in control of me. I am in control, and the chocolate cake is not in control of me. Now, why is this? B'nei Machshava Tova is not a very long kuntras, for those who have learned it. It's not the easiest of them either, but it's not the, it's a pretty short kuntras. So out of the 58 pages, 63 pages, that the Pia Zetzner writes, why would he spend three of them talking about meat at a Shabbos table and chocolate cake? Why is it so important that when the chocolate cake or when the meat gets passed around this Shabbos, you train yourself, I'm not going to have piece A even though I want it, and instead I'm going to have piece B. Why is that so central? Why is that notion of self-control, of being able to show that restraint, why is that so central to our Avodas Hashem? So I think the key begins with Har Sinai. If you pay attention to the Psukim, at the story of Har Sinai in Parshas Yisro, you'll notice, you don't have this, but you'll notice a few words and a few concepts that come up over and over again. So for example, right at the beginning of the story of Har Sinai, the Torah tells us that on the third day, V'igbalta esa'am saviv. What's the word V'igbalta? Gvul. That you have to set a barrier. Hishamru lachem alos bahar, that you, there's a barrier about where you were and were not allowed to go on Har Sinai. In Kol HaNogeh Bahar Mos Yumas. And if you went past that barrier, so you died. A few psukim later, Vayomer Alam, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, Heye Nechonim L'Shloshes Yamin, prepare yourself for 3 days, Al Tikshu Elisha. Not only are you not allowed to go toward the mountain, but you're also not to have physical contact with your wife. And if you go through the psukim, you'll notice that the concept of boundaries and the concept of barriers plays itself out over and over again throughout the story of Har Sinai. Why specifically, in the story of Har Sinai, of all places, does the Torah emphasize this exact notion? The notion of boundaries, the notions of barriers, and the notion of being able to show yourself the capacity for self-restraint. Why was that so central? Why was that so central to the story of Har Sinai? So first and foremost, we should all know that from Chazal's perspective, Kedusha is always found where you find restraint, when you find self-control. How do I know this? So the Rambam. The Rambam, we know, we learn just as much from the Rambam about what he actually writes in his Mishneh Torah as we do from where he puts things in his Mishneh Torah. So what does the Rambam put in the laws of Hilchos Kedusha? So if I were writing a Hilchos Kedusha, right, I would maybe put the laws of davening, the laws of Talmud Torah, right? When we think of Kedusha, those are the things we think about. What does the Rambam put in his Hilchos Kedusha? Surei Bria and Ma'achalei Asuros, right? Two things that specifically we are restrained from partaking of, right? Kashrus, food, tells me that some foods I'm allowed to eat, in many foods I am not allowed to eat. And as a religious Jew, I need to be able to tell myself that certain things are simply off limits to me. Says the Rambam, when you tell yourself no to certain foods, I know Rabbi Blumenthal spoke about this a little last night, but when I tell myself no to certain non-kosher foods, that's Kedusha. Says the Rambam, that when I go out into the street, or I get married, or that there's certain times that I can be physically connected to my wife, and there's certain times I'm not allowed to. Before I'm married, I'm not allowed to go up to anyone on the street and simply have a level of physical contact to them. Says the Rambam, that when I control myself from doing that, therein lies Kedusha. So again, we're left with that question. Why? Why specifically is self-control so important? Why does the P.S.S. and the Rebbe spend 3 pages of a very short kuntras telling us what piece of meat I should eat? And that if I eat piece A instead of piece B, that's a good thing. Why do I care? Why did the Torah go out of its way at the holiest period in all of Jewish history, Har Sinai, and emphasize over and over again this notion of Igbalta, of Gvul, of boundaries, of what I am and I'm not allowed to do? Why is it that the Rambam in his Hilchos Kedusha, when he's describing what holiness is, none of us would have described holiness as restraint. None of us would have said that when I choose piece A of meat instead of piece B of meat, that's Kedusha, that's holiness. And yet the Rambam, when he builds his Hilchos Kedusha, that's what he tells us holiness is. That Kedusha is when you tell yourself no. Parenthetically, what are the two sins of Adam and Chava? What are the two things that Adam and Chava become very aware of? So Adam and Chava make what mistake? Well, they ate the fruit, right? Hashem says you could have everything in the entire garden except for one thing. And what aren't they able to do? They're not able to tell themselves no. But you'll notice something very interesting right after that. She sees the tree. She has that desire for her. She eats from the fruit. So Chava is said, you could have everything you want. One thing you can't have. Chava says, I can't have that self-control. What happens in the very next pasuk? Vatipakachna eine shnehem. Their eyes open up. Vayedu ki'irumim heim. What's the connection between the fact that she ate from the tree and all of a sudden she realizes that she's naked? So the answer is that those two go together, right? The fact that she wasn't able to control herself in what she ate is directly connected with the next pasuk where they realize that they weren't clothed. And that's what the Rambam is teaching us, because it's one and the same. In other words, either you're a person who's able to control yourself, either you're a person that's able to maintain a sense of self-control, you're able to tell yourself no, or you're not that person. And if you're not that person in food, then you're not going to be that person when it comes to Isuri Bia as well. It's all the same Nekuda, is what the Torah is telling us. It's what the Rambam is telling us. It's what the Piazetz Nerebi is telling us. So I hope by now I've made the case that self-control is critically important. It's the basis, it's the foundation for Kedusha. It's the very first mistake Adam and Chava did. It wasn't about food and it wasn't about nakedness. It was about whether or not they could control themselves. And we see that at Har Sinai, the holiest moment in Jewish history, it's defined by you can go here, you can't go there. That's where the Kedusha of Har Sinai was found. So why is this notion, or at least why do I believe, that this notion of restraint, of self-control, is so important? So we all know that each one of us is created with two parts to us. We have what the Baal HaTanya calls a nefesh bahamis. We have our animalistic side. That's the side that you and I share with every other creation on the planet and in the universe, whether it's an animal or any other living human being. We are also created, says the Baal HaTanya, with a second component to us, and that's our chelak eloka mimal, is that you and I have a neshama. You and I have a part of Hashem within us. Says the Baal HaTanya, at every stage of our life, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep, 365 days a year, throughout our lives, those two components of us are constantly waging battle. Our nefesh bahamis, our animalistic instinct, is trying to make us more physical and more grounded in this world. Our chelak eloka mimal, the part of our that's connected to our shem, our neshama, is constantly striving, it's yearning, it's seeking to distance itself from this world and elevate itself into the next world. And so perhaps the reason why self-control is so critically important is because at its core is the following question. Which is in control? Are we simply animals? That I'm no different than the dog, the cat, the camel, the pig. Pig has instincts, I have instincts. The pig wants to eat, I want to eat. The pig wants to have sexual relations, I want to do that also. Right? Am I simply an animal, just in human form? Right? Or am I more than that? Am I more than that? Am I able to suppress and control my animalistic instinct to show that what's truly in charge is my chelek eloka mimal? And while I might live in a physical world, ultimately, the dominating force inside of me is the part of me that's yearning for Hashem. And so when you and I manifest that sense of self-control, it's a way, essentially, for our soul to purify itself from the body. It's a way for our soul to remind itself that it's not simply bound by what the body tells it to do. My body wants a piece of cake, I eat a piece of cake. My body wants that piece of meat, I eat the piece of meat. My Chava's body wanted the fruit, she ate the fruit. I want to be able to touch and see and do whatever I want to do. That's what I want to do. But the second I tell myself no, what I've reminded myself and I've given my neshama the ability to elevate itself up above my nefesh bahamas and to purify itself and to say that I'm not just an animal, but I'm something much more than that. How do we do that? We do that by self-control. We do that by being able to tell ourselves no. Why does the Piyaz Etzner care whether I take piece A of meat or piece B of meat? He doesn't care. It's a training ground. Because if I could tell myself no there, then I could tell myself no by the piece of chocolate cake. And if I could tell myself no by the piece of chocolate cake, it's a muscle memory. I could tell myself no by the McDonald's, and I could tell myself no when I'm at a computer at my house at night and I want to look at an image, and I'm able to tell myself no there. And if I could tell myself no there, then I could tell myself no, v'chule, v'chule. The second I learn to tell myself no, that I'm not simply a human being with animalistic instincts, but I'm something so much more than that. So what happens with the chocolate cake on Shabbos is the exact same that's going to happen to me when I'm sitting in front of a computer at 11 o'clock at night and no one is looking except for me and Hashem. And says the Piyaz Etzner, if you could tell yourself no by the chocolate cake, if you build up that muscle memory, if you remind yourself of what you really are, that you can control the animalistic desires inside of you, then all of a sudden, you become so much more. I'll just share with you, there's no way I'm going to have time for everything I want to share. You have in front of you an amazing quote from, I didn't even give myself a sign, but you have in front of you an amazing piece by the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, and you can read it on your own. I strongly recommend you reading it. But the Rav talks about two different types of heroism. First type of heroism, he says, is the heroism when you're in the middle of a street and a car runs over a child, and you go over and you pick up the car and you're on the front page of the New York Times. That's heroism number one. But says the Rav, that there's a second type of heroism is only known to Hashem. He is aware of it, and only He can appreciate it. And he describes a young couple on a date. He says, no one watches the young couple on a date. It is simply to violate the law, especially if one is driven by an urge, which is basically animalistic. Self-control at such a moment is very much appreciated by Hashem. So there's the type of heroism that says, I get written up in the New York Times. But there's a heroism that can be when I'm sitting alone on my computer at night, when I'm on a date, and I have that urge to reach out and touch someone, or I have the urge to look at an image, and I tell myself no at that person, at that moment. That, says the Rav, is the greatest form of heroism. He connects it to one of the brachas that we make every morning. Why do we say the bracha of Anosein Liyayev Koach and Ozer Yisrael Begvura? He says those are the two types of heroism. But again, you can read that all on your own. I want to finish with the following story. I was once I was in a class with Dr. Pelkovitz when I was in Smicha, and he told us the following great Maisa. He said he was once giving a presentation at a certain school in Midtown Manhattan, and he was speaking about how important it is to teach your children to be able to say no to your children, right? That your children are going to ask for unlimited candy, you have to say no. Your children are going to ask for unlimited TV time. Yeah, as a parent, you have to learn to say no to your children, even if it means being the bad guy sometimes. So he gives this whole impassioned speech about how you have to set boundaries for your children and you have to teach self-restraint to your children. And at the end of the presentation, a father comes running up to him and says, Dr. Pelkovitz, I have one question for you. How am I supposed to teach my son to say no when I can't say no to myself? Right? When I can't say no to myself. In other words, the father was basically admitting, I don't know how to say no to myself. Right? I want something, I go to the mall, I buy it. I'm hungry, I go to the supermarket and I eat it. I want to look at something, I go to my computer, I look at something. I don't know how to tell myself no. So how am I supposed to teach my son how to say no to himself? That's exactly what the Pia Zetzner Rebbe is talking about. The Pia Zetzner is telling us that self-control is a muscle memory. It's something you're either going to be good at, or it's something that the muscle is going to deteriorate, it's going to atrophy, and you're not going to be good at. And so we need to find in our everyday Avodas Hashem opportunities not to distance ourselves from the physicality of the world altogether. As the Pia Zetzner said, no one's asking you to give up meat altogether. But every day, every couple of days, choose something that you want and learn to tell yourself no. And every time you tell yourself no, remind yourself that by doing that, you're creating Kedusha. Because you're building that muscle memory, you're building the capacity inside of yourself to say that to be a Jew means that there are certain things that are permitted to me and certain things that are not permitted to me. And in that space of what's permitted and not permitted, that's where Kedusha is going to be found. Every time I want to look at an image and I tell myself, no, that's Kedusha. Every time I want to speak that Lashon Hara, but because I've trained myself to be able to maintain that self-control, I don't say the Lashon Hara, that's Kedusha. And so that's why I believe that in a very short kuntras, the Pia Zetzner Rebbe spends 3 pages speaking about self-control. Because if you don't have self-control, then it's going to be disastrous for your Avodas Hashem as a whole. That just because I can have something doesn't mean I should have something. And if I can find trivial, mundane opportunities to remind myself of that, then when it comes to the big tests of Avodas Hashem, I'll be much more equipped to pass them with flying colors. Everyone have a good night.